Shema
Israel. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations make free time available to present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our program today, The Days of My Life, a dramatization of the story of Penina Moise, Jewish poetess, was written by Joseph Mindel.
On a day in 1872, in the 75th year of my life, a day like thousands before, I sat by the window and listened to the sounds of the Charleston street. And I felt in my body the constant pain, torture grown familiar, that confined me to the house, always listening from inside. It was a day no different from other days, except that I was uneasy, as if there were a question unanswered, a question never asked. Why should the old ask questions? What good are answers when it's almost too late? I listen to sounds that others can't hear. My sister Rachel, busy with the endless chores of housekeeping. The young footsteps on the stairs. Eleanor, or Sarah, or maybe Flora coming to read to me. Careful not to tread too softly so as not to startle me.
Good afternoon, Miss Penina.
Here I am, Flora.
Oh, you always know who it is.
Why shouldn't I know?
How are you today? Oh, Miss Penina, there was the most glorious sunset.
Was there?
Oh, the sky was pink and blue and green and the fluffy little clouds.
I know it was beautiful, but I don't want to hear it. Not today.
Is something wrong, Miss Penina?
I feel... No, nothing is wrong. Nothing.
It's getting dark. Your window's still open.
It doesn't matter.
The evening air isn't good for you. I'll close it. And I'll light the lamp.
I don't need a lamp.
Of course you do. There. Now, it's more cheerful evening.
Well, go on, Flora. Say it, even if it's still dark for me.
You mustn't talk like that, please.
Why not? I've been blind for 10 years, and suddenly I don't believe in sunsets.
Please, Miss Penina, it's not like you.
No, it's more like me to be enthusiastic about a sky I can't see.
I didn't mean to make you unhappy.
Oh, I don't know what's come over me. I've upset you, my dear. I'm sorry.
No, it's not important about me. Miss Penina, I've brought George Eliot's new novel to read to you.
Not now. Flora, no reading today.
Because of the pain? Is it very bad?
Yes, the pain is bad.
Well, maybe if I read to you for a little while, maybe...
No.
Well, then I'll just sit with you. I won't even talk unless you want to.
I'm not afraid to be alone.
I know. I'd just like to stay.
Go home, child. The evening will be pleasant after the sunset. Go walking with your young man.
Please let me stay.
Do as I say, Flora.
All right. I'll put your shawl around you and... Here's your slate and chalk if you should want to write in it. Why, you have written something.
Please.
I have smiles for the living, the tender, the gay.
Good night, Flora.
Miss Penina, what...
Good night, Flora. I have smiles for the tender, the living, the gay... They're my words. I wrote them. But today I had no smile for Flora. They're only words in a poem written when the pain lessened for an instant. The pain. Suddenly this new pain is so important.
I'm no stranger to pain. Yet today I cannot smile. Why is it so important to everyone that I should smile? Why was it important 10 years ago when my eyes failed completely? My sister Rachel watched me anxiously.
Be careful, Panina.
I am careful, Rachel. You see, already I find my way around the room. The bureau is on my left, isn't it?
Yes.
And the table is right in front of me. Yes, yes, here it is. And alongside it is the chair. And here it is.
Oh, Panina, are you hurt?
I forgot about the footstool.
Sit down, dear. There. Oh, Panina, what are we going to do? How will we manage?
Just the same as before. We still have our pupils, not many, but enough.
I can't leave you alone all day when I'm with the children.
I should say not. I'll be teaching, too. Reading, all spelling, and elocution with gestures, Rachel. And in life, you know, I'm a very good elocution teacher.
Of course you are. Of course you are.
Well, there. You see, there's no problem at all. Did you get the slate and chalk for me?
Yes, Panina.
Well, then I can even write. Rachel, you're crying.
It's nothing. I didn't want you to know.
You don't have to cry.
I can't help it. You're smiling, Panina. You'll be alone in the dark and still you can smile.
Do we see only with our eyes? Rachel, I won't be alone. I'll never be alone. I remember the words I said. Blessed art thou, O Lord, our God, King of the universe, who opens the eyes of the blind and gives strength to the weary. But I couldn't smile for Flora today. When I would smile, remembrance brings a thousand sad and bitter things.
Panina! Oh, Panina!
I remember my mother's voice calling long ago when I was just a young girl.
Panina, here you are, reading in the dark again. You know your eyes are weak.
It's not too dark, Mother.
Yesterday it was a geography book. What is it today?
It's called Poems for Gentlewomen.
Poetry. Laws. You taught yourself just as if you were in school.
Well, I just breathe. You learn other things in school. Proper spelling and grammar.
You liked going to school, didn't you?
Very much.
Panina, I didn't want to take you out of school. You do understand.
Well, I know, Mother.
When your father died, there wasn't enough money.
Well, I wasn't complaining. Only if I knew more words and more things, then I could...
You could what?
You laugh if I tell you.
Maybe, but tell me.
I could write poems, too.
You still can. Only what with working in Miss Jenny's shop and helping with the housework, I don't know how you'll find time for poetry.
Oh, I will. In the morning, at night, all the rest of my life.
Panina, there are more important things in life than poetry.
There's so many things to be said, so many poems to be
written.
Panina,
listen to me. You're growing up. And soon, oh, I don't know how to say it, a woman wants to be married and have a family. You can write if that's what you want to do. But, Panina, a poem is not life. And you mustn't write poetry instead of living. Was I then? 16? I wrote poems when I should have been playing and strained my eyes when I should have rested them. I wrote poems, and I could number the years by them. My 23rd birthday to persecuted foreigners. My 30th, Joseph's dream. Year by year, I gathered them until I brought them one day to a publisher.
Miss Benita Moise, I hope you'll not be offended if I give you some advice.
Of course not, Mr. Aiken. Every writer needs advice.
Yes, of course. I would suggest, Miss Moise, that you find a husband and start raising a family. Now, you may blush if you like.
Oh, I don't blush anymore. I'm 36 years old.
Well, it's never too late. Never too late to get married, that is.
Mr. Aiken, am I to consider this a proposal?
Well, I'm a publisher, miss. I've given you strictly professional advice.
Well, that's why I came to you.
Well, then I repeat what I said.
But my private life is my own, and, Mr. Aiken, I'm very happy with it.
You are very fortunate.
If I were married, would my poems be better?
Miss Benita, you won't mind if I address you so. Miss Benita, if you were married, perhaps you wouldn't have to write poetry.
You are taking unfair advantage, Mr. Aiken.
Oh, I'm sorry. Frank, this is painful. Believe me, it's for your own good. There are spheres of female activity, and writing is not one of them.
Jane Austen was a writer.
Yes, yes, I know. But the public doesn't like to see women so forward.
The public, Mr. Aiken?
Let's not quibble, Miss Benita. Where are you going?
Home. You made yourself perfectly clear.
What are you talking about?
If you thought my poetry was bad, it would have been kinder to say so directly.
Oh, Miss Benita, I never said anything of the kind about your poems. How could I? I haven't read them yet.
But when he read the poems, he published them. And I was pleased to be a poet. I went home and wrote more poems. I wrote hymns that were sung in the synagogue. And the voices of the congregation carried my thanks to him who had made me according to his will. Hymns and poems numbered the days of my life. And pain was a pale poet's crown, and failing eyes the price of poetic vision. And my sister Rachel was concerned about me.
Benita, you're almost 40 and,
are gone, Rachel.
You're my sister and I love you, but, oh, Lord, I don't know how to say it.
Well, other people have said it. I should be raising a family.
Well, shouldn't you?
Oh, Rachel, you and your little girl, you're my family.
That's not the same.
Well, no. But it's all I have.
You talk as if your life is finished.
You may as well face it, my dear. Your sister is an old maid.
Don't even say it.
No, I'm reconciled to it. Maybe this is what God intended for me.
God intended women to be married to men. But he needs a little help.
Don't blaspheme, Rachel.
You're a handsome woman, Penina.
Oh, you. Rachel, if there were someone who could accept me as I am. Oh, I don't mean my clothes 5 years behind the fashions or my face not quite as handsome as you say. I mean the way I think, what I believe, what I really am. Rachel, I never found such a man.
Well, how could you, Penina, when you've always closed yourself in your room with your books and your pen?
I would have come out if he had found me.
But that's not how it happens, my poor Penina. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that.
I know. I'm afraid you'll have to put up with an old maid of a sister.
Don't talk like that, please.
And yet there are worse things in life than writing poetry. Now, in the 75th year of my life, there is no time for the luxury of illusion. I write verses, but I am not a poet. A dozen good lines and 100 poems. That's all. Only pain and the dark and a dozen good lines. And I cannot smile as once I smiled. And I do not understand.
Miss Benita. Miss Benita, I've brought you a cup of tea.
What time is it, Flora?
Almost midnight. I don't let it cool, Miss Benita.
Why are you here so late?
Let me help you into bed, hmm?
There is no need for you to stay.
Miss Penina, why won't you let me help you?
For goodness sake, Flora.
Well, I'll be downstairs if you want me.
I'm sorry, Flora. Sit down beside me for a while.
Your hair is so soft. You're pretty, aren't you?
Of course you are. I was a plain girl.
Oh, no, Miss Penina.
How could you know, child? I was very plain, with sickly eyes, like Leah. But Leah had many sons. You didn't go walking with your young man, as I told you.
Miss Penina, won't you please tell me what's wrong?
You do have a young man.
I have a friend.
Listen to me, Flora. Get married. Surround yourself with children and grandchildren. No one can tell you. You have to find out for yourself. Oh, why don't you go home now, Flora?
I'll wait downstairs.
Why, Flora, why?
Maybe you'll want me.
I don't want anyone.
It's gotten so warm. I'll open your window for you. Miss Penina, don't be angry with me. But I'll be waiting downstairs.
There's no use waiting. I have no more smiles. Only memories. The carriage in the night. I remember the sound of many wagons in the night, carrying the dead, and bells tolling. 1854, when yellow fever swept over Charleston, and the city waited helpless, while the sick filled the corridors of the hospitals.
Water. Thirsty. Water.
Here now, drink it slowly.
Doctor, I want the doctor.
He'll be here soon.
Don't go away.
No, I'll stay with you.
Relatives are not permitted in the hospital.
Doctor, he is very sick.
I have no time to argue. If you stay, it's on your own responsibility.
That's why I'm here. It is my responsibility.
You are a fool. All right. Give water sparingly. If the fever gets high up like cold compresses, and...
Yes, Doctor.
Pray. Pray as hard as you can.
Water. More water.
Only a little.
You go to church?
Yes, the synagogue.
I haven't been to church since I was 10 years old.
Now, you must be quiet.
I don't remember how to pray. Will you tell me how? Don't go away. Where are you?
I'm here.
I want you to pray. My mother used to read the 23rd Psalm.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me.
Miss Penina, may I come in? It's me, Benjamin Levy.
You've come about your daughter, about Flora.
No.
I told her to go home. She didn't have to stay.
No, it's not about Flora. I knew she was here. I want to talk to you.
Whatever it is, it can wait.
It's important, Miss Penina. It's it's about the new hymn we want you to write for the services. You promised us. You really did, you know. And we met at the synagogue, and... We decided that,
You got out of bed and came here at 3 o'clock in the morning to tell me this?
No, that's not why I came.
Then take Flora and go home.
We're not alone. All your friends are downstairs, waiting. Miss Penina, when Belle and I were married, we came to you for a blessing.
I have no more blessings to give.
When Flora was born, we brought her to you.
And this puts an obligation on me.
I'm not talking about obligations. We want to help.
No. No, you want me to count my blessings and praise God as I have done all the years of my life. You want me to write a hymn.
That's right. That's what we want. Will you do it, Miss Penina?
I will tell you the words to say. The words of Job. I was eyes to the blind, and feet was I to the lame. The cause of him that I knew not I searched out. And now my soul is poured out within me. Days of affliction have taken hold upon me. And I am become like dust and ashes. I cry unto thee, and thou dost not answer me. You didn't go with your father, Flora.
No.
Flora, I don't want tea. I don't want the window opened or closed. I don't want my shawl. Now, do you understand?
Miss Penina, you can't send me away.
There's nothing that you can do.
Because there's no place I can go.
You're shivering, child. Take my shawl.
Miss Penina, I'm not cold. I'm afraid.
You're so young and pretty.
My father, the others down there waiting, they're all afraid.
Why? I can't understand why.
Because of what you said. Because you wouldn't smile.
Well, then see, Flora, I'll put a smile on my lips. For you.
Miss Penina. Is that how it's been all your life? Is that it? When you praised God, you were only saying words without believing?
No. I believed then. But that was yesterday.
Miss Penina, I'm not old or sick or blind.
Then you have something to praise God for.
I do. Only sometimes I forget, and sometimes when something happens, a little something, I have angry, bitter thoughts.
Everybody does sometimes.
You mustn't, Miss Penina. Not you.
I'm human, too.
Don't you see? We need you to remind us how to talk to God.
From my dark world, I praised God. From the prison of one chair in one room, I praised God. But now this added pain, I...
Miss Penina?
Just now. You said something happens. A little thing. Flora. When God tested Moses, he tested him in a small thing. Almost I was found wanting.
No, no. Not you, Miss Penina.
It's been a long night. What time is it?
It's Friday morning.
You can go home now, Flora. My slate is on the table. There's still time before the Sabbath. Find new words to praise God.
This was Miss Penina Moiser, who lived in pain and loneliness, and saw God with blind eyes and believed all her life the words of the 23rd Psalm. Thou hast anointed my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Mr. Philip Klutznik of Chicago, president of the Supreme Lodge of B'nai B'rith. Mr. Klutznik.
Friends, today's story is of a woman who left her mark in religious poetry and who wrote a proud page of American Jewish culture in the 19th century. In darkness and pain, and in faith, she taught the young. In all this, there is much that cries out for imitation. There is a hovering darkness among some who have eyes to see. It is the blindness of petty prejudice and base bigotry. These symbols of night, out of which so much evil flows, are no less real than the blindness of this great lady. Two, there are people who seem to stand erect in physical well-being, but yet they suffer the excruciating pain of helplessness as they witness the basic rights of fellow men whittled away under relentless pressure of ruthless foes. In the darkness and pain that surrounds the current struggle to preserve our freedoms against attack from without and against diminution from within, we desperately need the courage and the character of the Lady of Charleston. No less do we need the simple lessons of her life. We, too, must teach the young, remembering that the world rests upon the breath of children in the schoolhouse. Now is the time to realize that our schools are losing their priority in public conscience in place after place. And we must have faith to activate us. A great philosopher once said, every sort of energy and endurance, of courage and capacity for handling life's evils, is set free in those who have religious faith. Here is the immutable lesson of experience and of today's presentation. The darkness of the eyes that see, prejudice and bigotry, the pain of the healthy as they watch our way of life imperiled, these evils can be overcome through profound faith. If the followers of all great religions will drink deep of their faiths, we need have no fear. Out of this, as out of her life, which was today portrayed, can come energy and endurance, courage and capacity for handling the problems of our generation. To win our struggle for freedom and for peace, we must lose ourselves in this type of action, not wither and dry up in despair.
Thank you, Mr. Klesnick. Our eternal eye drama today, The Days of My Life, was written by Joseph Mindell. Cantor Robert Siegel sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast were Virginia Payne as Penina and Terry Keane as Flora. Others in our cast were Evelyn Varden, Abby Lewis, Joan Lazer, Roger DeCoven, Leon Janney, and Bert Cowlin. The music was written by Morris Momorsky and conducted by Milton Kadams. This has been an NBC Radio Network production under the direction of Edward King. Free time to present The Eternal Light is made available by the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.